Oh, you thought we went away? You thought we quit? You thought we don't do special episodes? Well, you were wrong! Punk News Podcast episode 562 is back, and we're ready to hit the news like we usually do. No more special episodes for at least 1 week. Punk News episode podcast 562. John Gentile and we're in our time crunch today because we are all running out to see Yellow Man later on today, and we're very excited to see Yellow Man. I saw Yellow Man last night, and it was awesome. He did the hits. He did a couple of rarities. If you want to see an inspiring show, people, Yellow Man, King Yellow Man, King of the Dancehall, amazing show. We're all going to see him later on tonight. So quick intros. First of all, we're here with M. Moore. M. Moore, what's happening in the world of M. Moore?
Hello, I squished a spider, but it turned out to be a big ball of lint. So that was exciting.
Yes. There you go. Sam Barrett, many people think spiders are good luck. What is your perspective on spiders?
Ew. I don't need them in my life. They infest my plants. So, yeah, okay. It's only acceptable for Halloween when we're dealing with decorations of the creepy crawlies.
I'm totally into spiders. Like, I have a spider. Have I told you guys about the spider that lives in my kitchen?
No.
I cannot catch her. She is too fast. And first of all, I wouldn't kill her. Even if I could kill her, I still couldn't catch her. She, like, has this very elaborate web set up in the corner of my kitchen. And she has this perfect little hidey hole that's, like, part of the windowsill. So that if anyone approaches her, she just, like, ducks in there. There's, like, she's impossible. I would have to, like, spray spider spray or, like, something, like, some kind of poison into her hidey hole, and I can't do it. So she's just, like, another member of our family now. She just lives in our kitchen. We just eat breakfast, and she's there, and then we eat dinner. She's there. She's just always there. It's really a thing. It kind of makes it look like we live in a haunted house, which is, like, maybe cool.
Well, we are in October.
Yes. She's seasonally appropriate, but what do I do, you know, what do I do come January?
Dan hat.
Yep. I agree.
I won't be able to put it on her. I'm just going to have to lay it out and hope she's interested and wants to put it on.
There are all your spider options for this Halloween season, people. How to make your spider more festive. For Halloween, we'll talk about Halloween maybe next week or so. But right now, this week, we're back to the news, like we always do. We're talking about news, and here was a big news item, which was weird. Circle Jerks have announced the updated dates for their tour, which kicks off this fall, but then really the big part of it is next spring, runs March 2022 through May 2022. USA, there's also some European dates and so forth. The big surprise, a couple of big surprises. First of all, everyone's like, Circle Jerks announced their first tour in 30 years or whatever. It's like, they announced it like 2 years ago, and then they announced it again like a month ago. Like, all the other websites, and Ed Moore did an excellent job with his news story, because all the other websites just took the press release verbatim. Like, Circle Jerks announced first tour in 20-some years, or maybe like 17 years. It's like, no, they did. They announced it 2 years ago, they announced it a year ago, and they re-announced it about a month and a half ago. Why is everyone just saying it's their first, they just announced it? Everyone's known about it for a while. I don't know. Anyways. Also, I guess interestingly, 7 Seconds has also reunited, which 7 Seconds didn't like issue a statement saying they were reuniting. They were just, oh, we're going on tour. And was like, I thought you broke up 7 years ago. And they're like, We did, but now we're back. You know, so everyone was like kind of like surprised. Negative Approach is also playing, and Adolescents are playing many of the dates as well. I know I'm excited. I just saw Circle Jerks at Punk Rock Bowling, and they killed it. I mean, Circle Jerks, it really was as great as you would hope it would be. Of course, there's mixed emotions because for every day we get Circle Jerks, that's less work being devoted to Off. That being said, Circle Jerks is amazing. Also, for every day that we get that Circle Jerk, that's less work being devoted to Flag. It's as if you were going to the buffet and they're saying, do you want apple pie, cherry pie, or I don't know, strawberry cheesecake, you know? And you're like, I can only have one. That's not that bad of a choice, really, when you think about it, you know? But anyways, I'm excited. The Circle Jerks are kicking ass. I was really, really surprised by how good they were. And I'm glad Keith Morris and Greg Hatson are getting that money. And also, I'm glad that the Circle Jerks have always been perennially not appreciated enough. Aside, when the first album came out, it was huge. But then Bad Religion really took the wind from Circle Jerks. And I think, actually, pretty much as described in My Career as a Jerk, the Circle Jerks DVD documentary, which is excellent, there's always been underlying annoyances from Keith Morris and Greg Hatson about Greg Hatson choosing Bad Religion over Circle Jerks. And in a way, you can't blame him because I'm sure he's making more money with Bad Religion. But on the other hand, it's like, well, would you rather be third fiddle in Bad Religion or first fiddle in Circle Jerks, you know? And also, I think Keith Morris kind of felt, and actually, not to drag this out, but a perennial issue that has been throughout Keith Morris's career is he's sitting around waiting for other people. The reason Circle Jerks broke up is because he and Dimitri Coates were working on the Circle Jerks album, and the other guys weren't showing up. Keith felt his band wasn't being a priority. Then, as we now know from the recent kind of Off deconstruction reconstruction, he wanted to go on tour, and so did Dimitri, but the other two guys, according to Keith, and I haven't asked the other people, is the other guys weren't that into it anymore. Poor Keith, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And now, finally, everyone was like Circle Jerks, headlining Punk Rock Bowling. You know, big deal at Riot Fest. So it is very cool that Keith is getting his credit for Circle Jerks. And I will say, overall, Keith, within the past 10 or 15 years, certainly has gotten his credit as a very important guy in punk with Flag, with Off. But I guess it's nice that now Circle Jerks is kind of getting the salute, which I appreciate. Hallie Bloom, agree or disagree, will you go see the Jerks when they play Buffalo, New York?
I'm totally tempted to go to the Stone Pony show, although I feel like they already listed I feel like the tickets already went. Oh no. See, look at that.
No,
pre-sale.
They lied. They said tickets. There are tickets on sale on Wednesday, only if you have the special credit card. Normal tickets go on sale tomorrow, which will be by the time you listen to this.
Yeah. See, I'm kind of tempted to go. I just feel like it's just one of those things where I'll regret it if I don't go. And I'm so eager to go to shows again. And like next April feels like, I hope we've gotten our shit together and it feels safe. You know, like maybe my baby will have he might even have a vaccination by next April. So I feel like I should just go for it. Like I'll be bummed. What I'm trying to say is that if I wait, because I'm not sure what the COVID situation is going to be in April, and then it turns out that everything's fine and I could have gone and then the show's sold out, I'll be mad. So I think I'm just going to get the tickets and just like take a leap of faith. I do think it's super funny that someone in the comments was like, 7 Seconds always said they were never going to play again, so I don't know if this is fake news. And like that really made me laugh. I was like, your belief in fake news runs so deep that you suspect that someone is going to the trouble of creating fake news about the band 7 Seconds. Like, what are we even talking about here? Like, what kind of reality do you live in? Oh, that made me laugh. I thought that was real good. Yeah, I don't know. Are you guys, the rest of you guys going to go see these shows?
So I mentioned it to my husband, and we haven't decided anything yet. I have been going to shows, but we're kind of hesitant to buy any tickets in New York, like that far in the future right now. So a topic of conversation was the fact that, like, the flyer, states that on May 13th, they're playing in Los Angeles, and the Bouncing Souls is playing that. So, of course, that was like, what's going on there? For, you know, just a the Barrett household, you know, conversation. Because, you know, that's a one-off show. And we're like, I wish I was in L.A. on May 13th just for that. Because, you know, why not just see the Bouncing Souls all over this country?
I saw that too and was like, that actually looks so fun.
Yes, exactly.
So fun.
I'm like, that would be a bill that I'm like, yeah, I'll buy a ticket. I don't care if it's May, you know, like things like that. But I was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll go. Maybe we won't. I'm not sure. I do want to see 7 Seconds though. I think we were supposed to see 7 Seconds, one fest. Many, 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 many moons ago, and of course we couldn't get into the venue. So, so this might be the way that we see 7 Seconds.
Have they announced Canada dates?
Yes.
Is this a possibility for M Moore? Is this a possibility for you?
It is, and I'm so excited because they're playing Toronto, and they're playing the Danforth, and. I'm waiting. I want to get tickets. Negative Approach aren't playing the Canadian dates, which kind of sucks, but, like, you know, they're going to have.
I wonder why. I wonder why Negative Approach can't get into Canada. Who knows?
But, no,
well, listen. Oh, go ahead. That's why, then.
Huh? Oh, no, I'm really excited. I'm going to try to go. That was it.
Well, I recommend everyone goes. Like I said, I saw him at Punk Rock Bowling, and it really was. I had tentative high expectations, and those expectations were blown away. It was fast, furious. Keith sounds great. Greg sounds great. The whole band sounds great. Meanwhile, as sort of a link up to that, Henry Rollins has announced a pretty large 2022 spoken word tour. This is his first spoken word tour in a while. It's called the Good to See You Tour, and he hasn't really announced what he's going to talk about. It runs March through June 2022. Pretty massive tour, USA tour, East Coast, Midwest, and also some Canadian dates as well. I've got a bone to pick yet again, and this will probably be the last time I picked a bone. Before I picked a bone, does anybody else have anything they want to say about seeing Henry do spoken word? And I will say, Henry's spoken word is very entertaining and cool, and I definitely have enjoyed many hours of Henry's spoken word.
I think I've said this on the show before. Like, I did just sort of randomly get, like, an opportunity to go see him for free when we were in Edinburgh. And I was like, sure, I'll go see Rollins for free. And I didn't have, like, super high expectations. And then it really was quite good. It really was really entertaining. It's just fun to hear him talk. I mean, I do think it's funny that he's carved out this, like, he calls it spoken word, but what he does is not, I don't really think of that as spoken word. It's like, he kind of just, it's the closest thing it is to, like, stand-up comedy, but it's not funny enough for him to call it comedy. You know what I mean? Like, so he has to call it spoken word, but it's just, like, it really is his own genre. It's just like, I'm Rollins, I'm going to get on stage, and I'm going to talk about shit, and, like, you're going to find it fascinating because I'm, like, a fascinating person. And that, like, that pretty much holds true, you know? It's like, I kind of got to hand it to him.
Does Jello do spoken word, or is Jello, like, also in that Rollins category?
Yeah, just, like, I'm going to get on stage and talk. And, like, people find me so magnetic that I can just get away with that. Yeah, maybe. I find it funny. But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, John, you'll weigh in about Rollins, but, you know, just having seen him within the last, like, few years, I will say it was good. It was fun. I also didn't pay for my ticket, which I always like, you know, when something's free, it's like always just extra good because you're really not judging it at all. You're just like, you know, I have no reason not to be here. And if it's bad, I have nothing to lose. But, yeah, it was good.
Well, listen, I'm annoyed by Rollins, and I'm annoyed for the exact same reason, because it keeps doing it. And I don't know what his problem is. He just recently did an interview with Rick Rubin, the famous producer, and it's about a 60-minute interview. And on the first 15 minutes, it's him telling the story of how he joined Black Flag for the 87th time, which he's told time and time and time again, which, fine, that's cool. Honestly, it's a really good story. A guy that's a fan of a band jumps up on stage, and they like him. They say, do you want to join the band? It's most people's band fantasy come true, so it's a cool story. Then he spends the last 10 minutes saying, I'm not like those other guys. I'm not going to tour on the first album from years ago and say, ooh, wasn't the first album good? I'm doing something fresh. It's like, yeah, Henry, telling the same exact story about how you joined Black Flag for the 87th time. That's so much more noble than getting out there and getting money that you didn't get in the 80s because Punk didn't get any money back then. And that's so much – it's so much more noble exploiting the fact that you like guys that created art versus those guys that actually created art. Meanwhile, Henry's spoken word tickets are $35 each. That's fair. That's fair. But he's got a meet and greet for $180. So, yes, Henry, that's much more noble and valid and genuine to charge people $180 to meet you rather than another band that's touring off their first album. And we know which guy you're referring to because he supported you for the past 20 years. But for some reason, they
John,
asked you.
Breathe. Yeah. Breathe, John.
I'm just saying.
I'm worried.
It's so
annoying.
It's so annoying that Flag said to Henry, do you want to come join? They didn't have to do that. And honestly, I'm glad he said no. Because Flag with Keith and no Henry is so much better than Flag with Keith and Henry, you know. But like Flag said to him, Henry, do you want to be part of the party? And Henry said no. And then everyone was like, that's all right. But then Henry goes like, well, I'm not going to go rehash the oldies. I'm not, you know. Meanwhile, he's rehashing the oldies in the most low effort way possible, telling old stories that everyone's heard before. You know, it's like if I could hear my uncle tell the story about how he drove around in a Camaro in 1973 once, or see Keith Morris doing Deny Everything, I'm going to see Keith Morris. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and everyone's like Henry's a great storyteller. I like Henry, except for why it's the DC thing. Why are you popping on Keith Morris, who has only defended you and has only stood up for you in the past? And also, mind you, who went on tour with you when you did all Black Flag songs in 2003. Why was that cool? And now guys making money off art that they wrote that you didn't write. Why is that a object for ridicule and attack? I feel like, as I said it before, and this is the last time I'm going to make this attack unless something happens, which I don't think it will, because I've said it before. It's Henry says things that sound cool when he says it, but have no real substance. That's my annoyance at Henry. And the reason I'm annoyed is because I am a fan and I like his music and I like his spoken word. But the fact is, you attack Keith Morris, then I'm going to attack you, because Keith Morris is a gentleman, a scholar, and the greatest. And certainly you could criticize Keith for some things. You know, not every song he's written has been great, although he's written a lot of amazing songs and way more than most people. But to criticize him for doing Flag and Circle Jerks when that's what everyone wants and that's what gets him paid, and it's not like it's bad, it's amazing. Why are you criticizing that? Just because you want to look cool. That's the only answer. You want to look cool when you don't realize you already look cool, so it's an unnecessary and petty attack. That's my opinion.
It does seem a little sour grapes, right?
Yeah, like
what's just like what does it matter to you? Maybe if they got up on stage and just like said the lyrics to the first album and called it spoken word, maybe then you wouldn't have any complaints. They just called it like beat poetry or something.
Meanwhile, I'm gonna twist the knife and then I'm gonna get off the subject. It's not like that's all Keith has been doing. He's been doing off as well. You know, Bill Stevenson has been doing and CF and I get the Descendants and other projects. Chuck Tikowski's got the Chuck Tikowski Sextet. It's not like these guys aren't doing other cool things as well. I don't understand it. I think it's just the DC thing, like backbite anybody that you can just because it makes you look more real. Even if you dissect it, it actually makes you seem more phony. You know, I don't know, man. Whatever. Listen, here's something that's not phony, and here's something that's freaking awesome. Although I do have slightly mixed feelings. Froggy. You say, John, who's Froggy? Froggy is an amazing band from Philadelphia. They're real young. They're like 17 and 18. Well, I should say they're amazing. They're a very cool band. They're very young. And there's a lot of promise there. They've released a music video for a song called 7-Eleven Nachos. After they did the music video for 7-Eleven Nachos, they wrote to 7-Eleven. They said, will you sponsor us? And it was a joke. Except for 7-Eleven said yes. So then 7-Eleven, the company, had Froggy refilm the entire music video with like a real professional staff, and even gave them images to like promote the video, and they re-recorded the video. And honestly, the 7-Eleven version really is. I mean, the song is great. I think the song is great. You can tell it was written by young people that are having fun and being kind of weird. But the 7-Eleven video version, I think, is just way better if you ask me. It does look more slick. But so anyway, I think this band is rad. And if you are a follower of Punk News, you might be seeing this band again sometime soon. But that being said. This is real cool. I think I'm not dissing these kids. I think these kids are cool. But are we at the point where we want 7-Eleven to give us money? And, you know, I don't know. And I'm not trying to be – I'm not just – these kids are 17. If I was 18 and 7-Eleven wanted to give me money, I'd be like, give it to me, 7-Eleven. You know, I'm not dissing on them for that. I'm talking about how we see lots of bands on Twitter saying, sponsor us Pabst Blue Ribbon. Do we want giant corporations to sponsor our art? Lots of bands are into this thing now because nobody's getting paid. So I don't know. What's our perspective? I don't have an answer.
You really think they're vying for a sponsorship from 7-Eleven?
Like,
is that even in the realm of possibility? Aren't they like a tiny band?
Who, Froggy?
Does 7-Eleven sponsor bands?
No, I know for a fact that 7-Eleven is sponsoring Froggy. I know that for a fact. And I'm not dissing them either, mind you.
Wait, they are? Okay, yeah. Sorry. Okay, I missed that. Sorry, I swear I was listening to everything you were saying, but the synapses are not firing. Okay, that's very strange. I don't know.
7-Eleven paid for the music video.
That's so odd. Okay, I don't even know what my take is on that because I'm reeling right now. Somebody else?
These kids are young. I 100% think that, yes, this is totally a joke that they contacted 7-Eleven. You know, we're in the age of social media and we have access to companies, right? I was like, you could like fire off a tweet to a company and see what they say. Like, you know, Arby's. Arby's had a really nice campaign of, responding to people and stuff like that. I think that an opportunity presented itself and 7-Eleven was like, why not? And, you know, they got a lovely music video out of it and then, you know, that's fine. I don't think that, you know, they're looking for sponsorships all the time, you know, hopefully not. You know, there is another band, Mean Jeans. They put out an entire Jingles album, which I find completely delightful. And you know, they were tweeting out like to Sizzlers and stuff like that to see if they would get picked up, and I don't think anything happens to that.
Well, I would place Mean Jeans, I love the Mean Jeans thing because I would not to be hoity-toity, but I would say that was agit propaganda and that they were doing jingles and they weren't even being paid for it, and then they were asking to be paid for the jingles after running the jingles, which is really funny, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the Mean Jeans jingles record, I think that's one of the most interesting punk art pieces in the past 10 to 15 years. Like, I really do. I'm not dissing on Froggy because, A, I think it's funny, the original video did not make 7-Eleven nachos look particularly good. The new one does, you know. But the question isn't, did Froggy do the right thing? I say unquestionably, Froggy did the right thing. They're a young band. 7-Eleven is not selling more nachos because of Froggy, you know. So, yes. Froggy absolutely did the right thing. Although, that being said, is those kind of gimmicky things, like, if you don't grow organically, sometimes those things can kind of get in the way. But that being said, on Twitter, there's lots of bands that are trying to get sponsored by, like, Pabst Blue Ribbon or our band out in California, Bite Me Bambi, with the ice. What do you call it? Winchester Ice. Smirnoff Ice. Like, you know, like, I think you're trying to get sponsored. Or maybe they are sponsored. Like, are we at the point where we just say, all right, bands, you know, if you can get money from corporations and advertise for them, that's fine. Is that where we're at now? I don't know. Maybe we are. I'm not saying we're not. I'm just saying, is that the change in the paradigm, if you will? Emma, would you like my use of paradigm?
Yes.
I mean, they like the nachos. And they got people with, like, so much, like, millions and millions of dollars to pay for like a music video of theirs. Like, that's like, who cares? It's fine. They like the nachos. You know what I mean? They wrote the song. They obviously like love the nachos. So they're probably like thinking like, oh, this is so funny. Like, this is so cool. You know what I mean?
I think it's cool that Froggy did this, but I'm saying is there's lots of bands that are trying to get sponsored by brands. What's our opinion of that?
It's cheesy.
Or is it case by case? It's cheesy.
Case by case.
But it's also like,
just
you
like
said,
7-Eleven nachos.
You're right. Also, the video did like not make their nachos like particularly good.
I'm not running to 7-Eleven anytime soon just for nachos.
I would say that actually even the 7-Eleven graphics look very cool, But, like, I'm looking at the page right now. They have Froggy written in cheese. It kind of makes the cheese look gross, frankly, you know. But, listen, man, Froggy, listen, people, if you want the next band to check out that's real cool, Froggy. I'm telling you, get excited about Froggy. But here's another band that people are already excited about. I'm very excited about this. Surfboard have released a video for FML. The video stars Fred Armisen of Saturday Night Live and Portlandia. And everyone knows who Fred Armisen is. Well, and more. You posted about this. Surfboard. Are we continuing the momentum for the first album? Or are we petering out? Or are we increasing speed?
I think we are on track to increase speed, and I think, wait, when's their album comes out, like, next week, doesn't it?
It does, man. I gotta,
yeah.
It comes out
on the 11th, I think.
Damn, I gotta order that.
So, I think the next album's gonna be nuts. Like, I think it's gonna be really good. I love the video for this. So, like, Fred Armisen's just, like, walking around, making everything better, just, like, you know, kind of snaps the fingers, and then the guy who's on the floor has a seat, and Danny Miller's room is clean and all this, and it's just, the video is a joy, and at the end, Fred Armisen has, like, her makeup and her hair on, and it's perfect. It is the best. So the song is, about mental health and stuff and raising awareness for that. So, you know, nothing wrong with that. I think that's great. I was surprised that they had another album coming out because I thought they were just releasing singles. So that was really exciting. And I'm really excited to check out the new album. I think there's going to be lots of really good songs on there. What do you guys think?
I am a fan of Fred Armisen, so I do think that he is an added plus to this video. I've actually seen him play live once in Brooklyn in a tiny, tiny room, and I don't know why I bought tickets. I just bought tickets because I was like, why not? And had no expectations of what was happening, but he literally was a one-man band where he had, like, he would spend 5 minutes, like, syncing up all of these, like, pedals, and it would, like, literally, he would create a song out of it. So, it was...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it literally blew my mind. I was like, what the heck is happening? Because he was just, like, playing a riff on a guitar. Then it would loop. Then he would go to the drums and play a drum beat, and that would loop. And then, like, he would go to, like, various instruments on the stage, and then it would be like a full song, like, you know, or a part of a song, by the end of all of this looping stuff, right? And he did that, like, the entire night with, like, commentary on things, and, you know, he's just a really funny guy, and he's super into music, which I really appreciate, you know, into punk, I think. Yeah, I think he's into punk, you know, Portlandia and all the weird shit, but, Yeah, no, I'm not particularly fond of this band, but I do find that the video and him in it made it very fun.
John, were you into this?
Yeah, I'm, like, way into this. Like, I was a little surprised in that this song is not quite as nasty-wassy as the first album, but I like it. I mean, this is exactly what I want from a band. It is punk. It's wild. It sounds fresh, but it's got the classic punk sound, but it's fresh. It's wild. It's self-destructive, but it's kind of funny, too. This is exactly what I want from a band, and I'm so psyched for this. And I really hope Surfboard tours. I am still kicking myself for not going to the Surfboard Aim on the Sniffer show at the record shop, like, 4 years ago.
Oh, my God. That would have been amazing.
Like, this was right when before both bands' first albums, you know. Anyways, I thought this was rad. I think Danny Miller, like, there is a part of it. Like, this band is not huge, so why is Fred Armisen in the video? And how come there's no record label attached? Like, why is there no physical record coming out? It's only on Spotify. There's that ghost in the background, but it's so good. If that ghost makes music this good, then I guess I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, it's good stuff, man. Hallie, are you down with this?
Yeah, like, I love this. And I think it's like Sam said, like, I do think Fred Armisen is one of us. And, like, it's, I wouldn't surprise me if he knows Surfboard. Like, it just wouldn't surprise me. Like, I think he does try to keep his ear to the ground on, like, cool new bands. And I think he likes cool shit. I was really having a bad day, and this video just turned everything around for me. I found this so delightful. And, like, I had to watch it multiple times. I really liked that the lyrics to the song are so dark, and that they chose to make, like, a funny video in a way that doesn't, like, it doesn't betray at all to me, like, what the song is about. It's just, I don't know, I took it to be this really beautiful statement about, like, you can have totally bleak feelings. You can have a day where you feel all the feelings that this song describes. And it doesn't mean you have to, like, lose your sense of humor, or that you can't have a good day and make a funny video with your friends and your band that you love. Like, I just thought there was something really, like, powerful, almost in how just goofy that they chose to make this video. I thought there was something really cool about it. And then still, you know, they include at the end of the song, they include, like, information for how to get help if you're having super dark thoughts. So I everything about this I thought was just, like, right on. It really, really made me laugh. I love when they just stop the song right in the middle of the video. So that, like, with no music going on, Fred Armisen can just tell someone that they're about to step and poop and, like, save their day. And then the song picks up. And it's just, like, everything about all the choices in this, I thought, were just so, so funny. So, yeah, I was super into this.
Well said. Speaking of cool bands, No Bro and More, go.
Yes. Okay. They're from Montreal. And they just released a song. It's their new single. It's called Better Each Day, and it's amazing. And if you haven't listened to it, stop what you're doing and go listen to it, because it's awesome, and I haven't been able to really stop listening to it. So last year they released an EP called Sick Hustle, and they had a video for Don't Die that was animated, and it was really, really cool. And it's really good. So this is just, it's so good. It's giving me hope for, like, more music from them, because if it's, like, half as good as this, it's just going to, like, be massive. It's going to take over. So when it, like, the first time I listened to the song, like, the first, like, 50 seconds of it are kind of, it's, like, it's slower, and there's some organ music and some claps and snaps and stuff, and it sounds really good. And then it just, like, you know, switches and gets more energetic and picks up, and it's a ripper. It's awesome. Hallie, you posted a story with your son and the song, and that was just perfect. That was awesome.
The song is so freaking, like, Em, honestly, I have to thank you for this song. Oh. The song is so good. And, like, so the video that I posted is just, like, a dumb, like, Instagram story, but it was just, like, my son and I listening to this song. And, you know, my son is a toddler, and he's, like, losing his, like, he loves the song. But that was, I think I wrote you this, Em, like, that was the second time we listened to the song. The first time we listened to the song, at the exact moment that you're talking about, Em, like, right, like, it has this, like, slower, like, intro. And then when the song, like, kicks in, it is honestly so exciting. My son, like, just took off running. Like, my son had been seated. And, like, the song, like, that when that change happens, my son just sort of shot out of his chair, started running around the house. It's, like, that fun. It's just, like, that fun. It does. It just makes you, like, you just have to move. It's so good. I loved this. Loved, loved, loved.
Sammy B., what's your perspective?
I like this. I listened to it the first time, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, because I was doing it during work. And then I listened to it, like, right before we're speaking right now, and I was like, this, like, you guys said it. I was like, it's just a fun song. Like, you know, it's, like, it just has these progression changes, and it's just really nice. So yeah, I am hopeful that something nice might happen and, maybe we'll get something fun soon. I don't know. We'll see.
I hated this song. No, I'm kidding. I loved it.
I was like, no way.
I honestly, Edmore's got very, actually, Hal's got very good taste. Sam's got very good taste. Edmore, everyone here's got good taste. Edmore also has good taste. I like a lot of her stuff. I don't love everything, but I love this. I'm like, well, Edmore really knocked it. Yeah, Edmore, who didn't record this song, really knocked it out of the park on this one.
I love how
it's got kind of like a church vibe to it, and then it drops into like kind of punk and even hardcore, but it's got kind of a power pop thing. I dug this track. This band's exciting. This is real cool. I honestly, I'm definitely not trying to be Mr. Oh, I'm Mr. Sophisticated, or I'm Mr. You know, I'm Mr. 2021, because we all know that guy on Twitter, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, listener. And that guy is insufferable. What I will say, man, and maybe gender shouldn't even matter, and it probably shouldn't, but like the women are just killing it this year. They really are. Most of the exciting bands that I'm into this year are bands with a lot of women in them, you know? And I guess it's because I don't know. And maybe we shouldn't even think about gender when we're talking about, but the fact is punk was essentially dominated by guys from like 84 to like 2014, you know? And so what I really like about the bands that have women singers and women musicians is, and it honestly is the thing that I really got to do regarding the Coat Hangers, is I'm hearing stories that I haven't heard before. You know, the Coat Hangers sing about punk stuff, but they also sing about what it's like being a woman and your women friends aren't being cool, or they are there for you, or, you know, maybe your boyfriend's not being cool, or maybe your girlfriend's not being cool, you know, like, I'm hearing stories and lives that I haven't heard before. I don't need to hear four guys with beards saying, we're going to drink whiskey and be friends till the end. I don't need to hear four guys dressed like Discharge rearranging Discharge lyrics. You know, I've heard it, you know. And I certainly don't need to hear four guys with mohawks saying, "How about, you know, we're street punks and we're going to fight the system. Well, how are you fighting the system? We're going to sing about fighting the system. That's what we're going to do to fight the system." You know, like, I'm getting a different vibe. And I still love all the classic bands, and I still love all the classic punk. But I feel as if the women are bringing in something fresh that we haven't had for a while. And I'm totally into it, man. Totally into it.
Hear, hear.
We need representation.
I'm sorry. What was that, Sam? I didn't hear you.
Oh, we need representation.
So actually, that's the question, not to drag it out, is it cool to say the women bands with women in them are really killing it? Like, it's definitely lame to call a band female fronted. That is so lame. You know what I mean? It really is, you know. That's not the important part, although maybe it is. Maybe it's not lame. Whenever a band's called female fronted, that definitely sends douche chills on my spine. I'm like, you know what I mean? But I don't know, man. Like, how do we deal with that? Do we just not worry about it, or you know what I mean? I don't know. What do you guys think?
I know what you're saying. Like, does it feel kind of passé to even bother to point it out? Because it's like, duh, yeah, like, well, women, yeah, do cool shit. But I feel the same thing as you. I feel a big shift. I feel the ground moving under our feet. I feel a big shift happening where, like, women really are taking up space in the music world in a way that feels like they haven't before, and like, yeah, just like really, really making just, I don't know, just incredible music. I think it's worth pointing out. I know what you're saying. There's something about it that feels like, ugh, like, why do we even have to still talk about it? But I do think we do, because I think we're all feeling that something is changing and that it's worth noting, you know?
Well, we need to have these conversations for things to happen, and I'm actually really glad that, was it 2 years ago or last year, I guess, we had the Women in Punk series, because it really needed to happen, because there are, like, you know, for years, I've gone to shows, and I might be one of the only ladies there, but, you know, I'm there with a guy, like, you know, we need females to show up to shows and just be there. And not be bothered, you know, or not be accessory to a guy.
Well, what I will say, what I do, now that I'm talking over the three other women who were in agreement with us,
No.
You know, what I will say is I'm so glad that the era of I'm a pretty girl and I'm going to play an acoustic guitar here that is about how I'm not sure of life. Meanwhile, we got Danny Miller saying, I want to kill myself. Meanwhile, we've got Scow, and I think her name is Kat, saying, I want to tear your head off. And honestly, like, the singer-songwriter Joan Baez thing actually is cool. And I really like Joan Baez, and I like Rita Coolidge, and I like I Feel the Earth Move Under My Feet. Who is that? I Feel the Earth Move.
Yeah, who is that? That's so good.
Carol King. Yeah. I'm being dismissive to be kind of funny. I love all that stuff. But I like that, like, and this is from the outside looking in. It feels like the area that women are now taking a part of is broader than it was 5 years ago. You know, I feel the expression is broader. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's cool. You know, I think it's cool. I think Scow is real cool. Scow is the latest hardcore darlings, and they should be. They've got a new album coming out called How Flowers Grow, out November 19th via Flat Spot Records. And I was going to buy the limited edition orange record for $20, because that's a reasonable price, except for shipping was $12. And I'm like, well, I don't want to spend $32 on a record. I'll get it later. And, of course, it sold out, like, the next day, and now I can't get one. Anyways, this band rules. Scow's got a new video out called Bloodhound. It's savage hardcore. To me, it sounds very much inspired by Early Ceremony, and that's great. And the video for Bloodhound, this is probably just me being totally psycho, but I feel like the video is inspired by the Rolling Stones' Waiting on a Friend video. Because in the Rolling Stones Waiting on a Friend video, it's got Keith Richards is sitting on the stairs, Mick Jagger comes up, and they walk down the street, and they get the rest of the Rolling Stones, and they go into the bar, and there's Ronnie Wood, and they play as the Rolling Stones, which is almost exactly what happens in this video. I dig this. Sam Barrett, do you dig this? And was this video directly inspired by Rolling Stones Waiting on a Friend?
I have no idea whether or not this is inspired or not. But I do dig this. I really, really, really like this video. I love the fact that she is, like, wearing all of these flowers and things like that. Because you would never think that, like, you know, a person dressed like that would be, like, you know, screaming or, like, you know, pretty much in a hardcore band. Because, you know, that's not the look, I guess. But, I would really want to see them one day, maybe. I see that they're touring with maybe Come Back Kid and Be Well, and I'm really happy about that because I'm seeing Be Well this weekend.
That's West Coast, though, isn't it? That Scout.
No, that's Europe and UK. I think they're doing Come Back Kid and Be Well, but yeah.
Thanks, Scout. Thanks a lot. You know, you stop with East Coast.
Yeah, you know, come to the East Coast and maybe, you know, play with Come Back Kid and Be Well as well. I don't know. We'll see.
Maya, I told you guys I had that that I dated this Argentinian who considered himself a Rolinga, meaning that he, like, exclusively listens to Rolling Stones. So John Gentile, he actually we had to go to 96 St. Mark's Place, like, on a pretty regular basis just to visit the site of where that Rolling Stones video was shot, which is a great block. I had no problem with going down there, but I loved this video. It did not remind me of Rolling Stones Waiting for Friends, but now that you're drawing the comparisons, I do see them. I loved the video. I'm sure it's fine if you, like, love this kind of hardcore. It's just, like, it's not for me, but yeah, I don't know. I thought this band was cool. I respect what they're doing.
And more, do you respect what Scow is doing, or do you hate them?
Oh my gosh, they're so good. I love them so much. Like, this is the kind of hardcore punk that it's my favorite. It's so good. Because I really don't like the macho stuff where it's like, look at me, you know, and this is just perfect. It's so good. Everything is balanced so well. There's so much aggression. There's so much everything. Her voice is amazing. You know, like, I want to sound like that. Like, I like the video. I thought the video was really good. It didn't give me Rolling Stones vibes, but I thought it was really good. And I really want to see them live at some point. I saw they They toured with Punitive Damage, and they're a hardcore band out of Vancouver, and they're also really good. So it's like, I want them to tour again, and I want them to come here, because I really want to see both of them. And I think together it'd just be like a stellar show.
Here's one last story that we're going to hit, and this will also undoubtedly be a stellar show. Danzig is finally doing his all Elvis set, and he's doing it. The backdrop reportedly is going to be like the Elvis Comeback Special, which is Elvis's probably most famous video we ever did, aside from maybe Jailhouse Rock. And of course, as everyone knows, Danzig put out an Elvis covers album about 2 years ago now, I guess. And he said he was going to do a show in a nightclub, like an Elvis show in the 60s in Vegas, and it got delayed. Well, he finally announced that there's actually going to be two shows on October 30th and October 31 in L.A., Halloween night, of course. And Danzig says this is probably going to be the only two Danzig does Elvis shows that I'm going to do. And it's going to be at a nightclub where you sit down at the table, and it's very much going to be in that, like, 60s Las Vegas kind of hipster swing kind of thing. And I mean hipster in the 60s version, not in the 2000-whatever version. I got to say, man, like, people diss on Danzig, and I'm always defending Danzig, and I'm thrilled to defend him here. People say, oh, Danzig is doing these stupid movies, or, oh, you know, Danzig, but at least he tries to do cool shit, man, and this is cool. Like, he likes Elvis. There have been rumors that the Danzig does Elvis covers album for years, and so not only is he doing it, he's kind of doing him dressing up as Elvis, essentially, on Halloween night. It's perfect, it's cool, it's interesting, it's art. He'd make way more money doing more Misfits shows, but instead he's doing these tiny little Elvis shows, which is rad. And so rad, I'm going on Halloween night out to L.A., so how do you like that, listener?
Anyway. Wait, hold on. Wait, how much was tickets?
Tickets to the Danzig show?
Yeah.
Very expensive, $130.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, no.
Oh. My plane ticket is cheaper than my Danzig ticket. How do you like that? Well, but I mean, honestly, it's only like 100 people or something. And, you know, Danzig's got to get paid. And this is going to be I feel like a lot of people don't really give a shit about once-in-a-lifetime shows. At Punk News, we've thrown some once-in-a-lifetime shows. That this is the one time. And to be, I'm not trying. Some people have been like, oh, John, that's the best thing ever, blah, blah. And then some people are like, oh, I might go. Like when we had Dan Burt Novick come play with Sturgeon and Crazy in the Brains and Joe Jack Talcum. And people are like, oh, Danbert, Chumbawamba's my favorite band. And I'm like, well, you can come see him for the first time in 19 years, and it's only $12. And people are like, oh, I might come. I'm like, it's never happening again. I feel like people don't care about, like, once-in-a-lifetime shows, where I've been to several once-in-a-lifetime shows, and it's, like, the greatest thing ever, or the second greatest thing ever. So this is rad. This is cool. And I'm super excited for this. And more. What's your stance?
I want to see him dressed as Elvis. I really want to see him dressed as Elvis. It sounds like it'll be a really, really good experience. It seems like something that fits him really well, too, you know? Like, doing, like, the small club show and really going all in on it. I think definitely going to be a once-in-a-lifetime show and just such an opportunity, you know? I think it'll be good.
What's the word I'm looking for? Not how political, how
diplomatic.
Oh, Hallie Bullitt. What are you thinking?
I think it's funny. Like, why not? Like, why not dress as Elvis and sing Elvis songs? Like, everyone should do that once in their lifetime. I don't know. I think it seems funny. Also, like, maybe a little cheesy, but like, I don't know. Like, I can handle that. I can handle that amount of cheese. In fact, I kind of support it. So, yeah, I don't know. I think this is funny. Why not?
There you go. Sam Barrett, what do you think?
Sam will not be in L.A. for this. Sam will probably not be leaving her house on Halloween because, you know, my dog will probably be barking his head off. I think that if you're into it, it's definitely a thing. If you can get a ticket, you must do. And it sounds like John will be there, and it sounds like John's probably going to be sending us photos of dancing in an Elvis costume, because that's what we're requesting.
He doesn't let you take pictures on stage, and I respect that, Danzig, so I will not be taking pictures of Danzig on stage.
Okay, so
he'll, like, have a tantrum and, like, walk off stage, right, if people do it? I've seen him do that.
Well,
you know, listen, Danzig has done so much cool stuff. He's entitled to be a little bit of a weird artist here and there, you know. And I should have said, shut up, Hallie. I apologize. I was trying to be funny, but it came out as mean. Shush is what I should have said.
So you're now trying to draw this, like, event. Like, you're supposed to draw this now, and you're supposed to send us this photo now.
like a courtroom artist. I'll do that. I'll wear a beret, too. I'll be like, oh, hold still, Mr. Danzig. Well, listen, people, it's been a quick, fast, fun episode. Let's play some surfboard, some scow, some no bro, and we'll see you next week. How about that?
Hell
yeah. And we'll see you next
week. That's exactly what I wanted you to do. I'm like so happy with that music decision. Yes.
See you next week. FML, I want to kill myself. I didn't get the things I wanted. I can't eat, I can't sleep. Might as well get high. Oh, FML. Wanna kill myself.
Watch out. Poop.
Oh, whoa. Thanks, man.
No problem. I was hoping we would be friends today. Wander around the park and have something to say. I was hoping we would be friends. Walk around the park.
Bitch is not illegal. So.